Welcome back to the Coffee Hour. I'm Andy Bates.
I'm Sarah Golseth.
Continuing our series on worker wellness, church worker wellness, those who serve in ministry, and our favorite guest for that topic, our expert for that topic, Deaconess Heidi Gaiman, ilovemyshepherd.com, licensed mental health provider, licensed clinical social worker. We already established your street cred in our last episode.
You can find on our website.
That's right. Legit. Legit.
It's like okay mental... if I'm not legit.
No. We don't have anyone who's not legit on the program.
Well, that's true. We don't want to mess with your street cred.
We've got a reputation to uphold here.
Yeah.
Last time we talked about the intersections of the ministry house and referencing the YouTube videos that you have on these very topics too. So if you want to dig deeper than the real deep stuff that we cover here on the Coffee Hour, if you want to dig deeper, check out the YouTube videos. We'll provide a link with the archive of today's podcast as well, so you can check it out. So last time we talked about ministry house, kind of got an overview of what we're headed toward. Now we're going to talk about children. Mm-hmm. I love children.
I do.
I hope you do.
I have a child.
That's true. We would have a different conversation happening if you didn't.
Who happens to be the child of two church workers?
Oh, yeah. And being the child of two church workers, that's almost a mind-blowing scenario.
Yes.
Oh, boy.
Much against the advisement of our program directors when we were in college, who advised DCEs not to marry each other.
Mm-hmm. You didn't listen, did you?
No.
Yeah, unlike my program that was like, so pre-seminary students, go find yourself a deaconess, you know. So, wow. So my marriage is, you know, fueled
some real relationship advice there.
Two church workers as well.
Yeah.
And much like our household, not two like parish workers typically.
Yeah.
Those who serve in the same parish. Sometimes that can be a good thing. Sometimes it can be a challenging thing, which brings me to my first question. What are circumstances that might be unique to kids, church work kids, ministry kids?
Sure. I think one thing I've learned in my the last few years of working with church work families and then also working within congregations is there isn't a lot, to be honest. There isn't a lot that's truly unique to church work children. A lot of children.
So they're normal.
They are, right. They're very
sure. Right. We'll go with that.
I try not to use terminology of normal because honestly, I would contextualize it like none of us are normal, right? None of us are. But I think
average.
That there is a real legitimate idea that some of these struggles within the church of the fishbowl, of life in the fishbowl and being the parent of two workers that are, you know, influential in the church at the very least and all that stuff, that there is some struggles that are unique to that situation. There's some truth to that. And then there's also truth to be said that it's really not that different. Honestly, there's a lot of judgment in the world at large. And so it is pretty likely that the single mother I have found parenting in the pew feels pretty similarly about judgment from people around her as the pastor's wife who is essentially single parenting in the pew because, you know, her husband is leading the service. And so there is a lot of overlap. I think that we can find commonality with different segments of people in our churches. That said, it's hard. I turned around to my daughter after hearing an ad in Virginia. It was like very random from a different denomination saying they were having a PK, a pastor's kid convention, basically like a youth gathering for pastor children. And I was like, why would they do that? That's hilarious. Like, you know, like we just want to set them apart. And I turned around, I said, Macy, do you feel like you need a pastor's kid convention? And she said, I feel like, yeah, I do. Like every day I'm very aware that I'm a pastor's kid. And I was like, oh, mind blowing. Okay. I didn't know that because I didn't grow up under that umbrella. And so I think there are places in her life that she feels the weight of maybe needing to have the answer, especially biblically, scripturally. There's places in her life where she needs to be holier than other people. There's that. And it's not fair. You know, she's mm-hmm. she's just honestly not more holy. None of us are. We are, guess what? We don't believe in that. You know, we're all sinners. Praise the Lord, saved by grace. We don't have to maintain that, guys, and nor should we expect our children to maintain that, guys. And so there is a call to be a little bit more vocal for that about church work children, whether that's a teacher's child or a DCE's child or even the organist's child, the mm-hmm. the piano player's child, the worship leader, whatever.
Yeah, yeah. And another thing that makes a difference, I think, is that, you know, if children of people who don't work in the church, there's your parents' place of work, and then there's the place that you go to worship, and they're two very different things, and they don't, you know,
the worlds never collide.
Right. You know, you right. have, you know, take your kid to work day, but you don't go to the church. But on Sundays for ministry worker children, that's a very different reality. Mm-hmm. And
there's a lot of blessings in it. There's a lot of, whoa, this is awesome. And you'll talk to kids of church workers that are like, oh, I was just so thankful. I grew up in this like bosom of the church. And it's just, that was a really big gift. And then you'll hear kids talk about those darker sides of the church that they saw, you know, when maybe someone didn't talk very nice to their mom or dad mm-hmm. in a meeting or whatever. And there's another episode called The Dark Side of the Church, because I think we have to have honest conversations with our children about that, but also among our congregations. We have to be more honest about that too in general.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And it creates, I mean, we talked about the fishbowl effect, but it's, you know, your life is almost on more of a display because the working world and your worship world are the same thing, mm-hmm. and that can create a lot of dark places. Like
it
you
does
mentioned, for those kids.
It's back to that messy intersections. It's mm-hmm. it's just a little bit messy. I think that people aren't looking at us as church workers as much as we think they are. And then as soon as I say that, then someone is. Like, so, you know, like, there is a truth to it, of all of it, of the fishbowl life. And then I think there's just, it just is what it is. And so just existing in our bodies of Christ and loving one another, suffering together and rejoicing together is the best thing we can do for our kids, being that very authentic place that's safe. You'll hear me use the word safe in this episode a lot. And I think that's true for our ministry kids as well as all kids. The church needs to be a place they can fall into and know that it's safe to be themselves.
It's ironic that we're speaking about life in a fishbowl as we sit in a studio that's like 70% that windows.
Yeah.
So everyone can see
stare at us
where
when we
spend
by.
Most of our time in a studio that's windows. But in a sense, that can be a good thing, too. While it's sometimes hard to be vulnerable and let everyone see what's going on in your life, that can also be a good thing for, I think, a number of reasons. One, then other people can see when you need help, and if they're gracious, step up to help. Mm-hmm. And also can be helpful, like for me as a parent, sitting in the pew, you're talking about, you know, the pastor's kids or church workers' kids are just like everybody else's kids. And I see that sitting in the pew when my 4-year-old son, who is a 4-year-old. So his attention span is short, and I have high expectations of him, not just because he's a church worker kid, but because he's a kid in God's house and want him to sit and listen. And so my expectations are sometimes high. And after the service, when I think, oh gosh, it's been really difficult, and he was really having a tough time staying focused. Therefore, I had a tough time staying focused. And mm-hmm. I think, oh gosh, you know, this was a disaster. And the person in front of us turns around and says, he did so well tonight. I'm so proud of him. And I'm thinking,
yeah, oh, praise God.
Yeah. Okay.
You need that body of Christ to build you up and encourage you in that, I think. And sometimes in church work, to keep you going, you know, mm-hmm. to just like, we need the encouragers. We need the Barnabases of the congregation that can say that, because it is.
We need to be open to others. We can't live in a life that's cut off from everybody else. We need to be a part of the body of Christ. So it was helpful for someone else to say, just to say that, say, oh, he did really well tonight. To me, that said, okay, it wasn't distracting to everyone else, right, like I thought it was in my mind, and you know, playing out these scenarios in my mind.
And we've addressed young children a lot in this particular episode.
That's true.
I really also want to address like the adult children of church work children, particularly, I hear so many church workers that are distraught about their prodigal children, mm-hmm. their children who have stepped away from the church. And if that's the only message someone gets today, I want them to know that they're allowed to be prodigals. If we are going to say that they're just like everyone else and believe it, then we will have children step away sometimes. And it is hard as a church worker to watch that. And I've noticed that there's a lot of ministry to be done in that, though, also with so many children leaving the church, so many young adults and older adults having, whether it's from negative things or just different world beliefs that come in. Wow, so many of us need support for that. And so this is a issue to talk about for the youngest of children mm-hmm. to, you know, our children that are maybe even nearing retirement. And you just are like, you want them to know about Jesus and want them to be part of the church, that they get to have God write their testimony for them too. And we are no different than the next person.
You mentioned about asking your daughter about the church worker or the PK conference and not seeing that from her perspective, maybe, mm-hmm. Which I think, I mean, that just happens because when you're not living that world, it's hard to know. Are there ways that parents can understand that child's perspective as being a ministry worker child and help them work through some of the things that they may come across?
Yeah, I think every family meals are the best places to have conversation and the same car rides, things like that. But I really, really encourage family meals. And for church workers, I think that this is so important. Children need a place to gather to ask questions and they will come up. Like, you can definitely ask, like, how's church for you? I mean, I think just asking like very open-ended question, you never know what you're going to get. It could be a totally different topic from where you were going with that. But just asking them questions like, you know, what do you think? What did you think about this sermon? What are you just genuinely treating them like a member of that church and bringing the faith at home? Sometimes we can be so busy taking the faith out in church work families that we also forget to share it in our home. And so, you know, opening the Bible together, God will create those discussions.
I ask those questions, and right now the answers are usually about donuts or something like
that. I know, right? Yeah. And you have to be okay with that. That's grace.
Well, more from Deaconess Heidi Gaiman, ilovemyshepherd.com, and check out the YouTube videos. We'll provide a link in the archive as well. More to come in future episodes. Heidi, thanks so much for sharing with us here in the Coffee Hour. The Coffee Hour with Andy and Sarah is a production of KFUO, the listener-supported broadcast ministry of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod. To support the Coffee Hour and KFUO Radio, visit kfuo.org or text KFUO to 41444. KFUO, Christ for you, anytime, anywhere.
Concordia University, Wisconsin in Mequon overlooks a half mile of beautiful Lake Michigan shoreline. CUW campus is located 15 miles north of Milwaukee, with over 70 undergraduate majors, 28 graduate degree programs, and doctorate programs in pharmacy, physical therapy, occupational therapy, and nursing practice. CUW offers online learning and accelerated learning at one of 9 Wisconsin centers and one in St. Louis. Traditional or accelerated education, CUW has the program for you. CUW.edu.